Hello, welcome to the Stubborn Tortoise Podcast. I'm Donna Pazdera. So today I have got a great episode with my friends Basilio Mendoza, otherwise known as Coach, and Orlando Montalvo, who is also known as Hundo because he's run a lot of 100-milers. Hundo is probably one of my best friends in the world. He and his wife, Kathy. But anyway, Coach and Hundo they went up about a week ago Thursday to Boston, or they left, and they got there Friday, I think, and immediately set about the task of helping set up the 5K at the Boston Marathon, and then they ended up working through the weekend and into the early part of the week to work behind the scenes at the Boston Marathon. And for those of you who don't understand what that is, the Boston Marathon has been around, I don't know if it's the oldest, and I'm thinking it is, but it's been around for about 128 years. And it's a legendary road race, which I know I don't normally talk about, but it's a pretty, you know, everyone should have heard about the Boston Marathon at this point in their lives. It's a very prestigious race, and it's lots and lots of people try to qualify for it, and they don't, or they may, and then and so it's probably, I think you get, and you end up with like about 35,000 runners that day, and so these guys worked behind the scenes, and Coach has run Boston at least a couple of times, and he talks about his journey in terms of learning more behind the scenes, because he is now retired as a teacher and a coach at Donna, not my name, but really Donna, independent school district in the Rio Grande Valley. He did cross country there for a long time, or, you know, coach cross country and had lots of state championships and organized several events involving the original runners from McFarland High. If you remember that movie, McFarland. Anyway, Coach is amazing. He's been a dear friend for a long time. He runs. He also race directs a lot of races in the Rio Grande Valley that are very unique. He did one called El Chalán, which involves taking a ferry across the Rio Grande to Mexico from Mission, Texas. And, you know, you run. My favorite is the Pancho Villa race, which is a 5 mile out and 5 mile back run race out somewhere between Mission and Rio Grande City. It's kind of this like dirt road, but it's, you know, in this very rural area and incredibly hilly, which is weird for the valley because the valley is pretty much, you know, flat as a pancake. But nonetheless, it is a beautiful place and has lots of elevation gain and whatnot. And sometimes there's loose dogs running around. We used to run out there. I like to run out there a lot. It's probably one of my favorite places in the valley to run just because it's so kind of remote, I guess. But and so you do your 5 miles out and back, and there's, you know, snakes, there's, you know, wildflowers, there's all kinds of insane things out there. And Coach also used to take us to places. There's this one place he called Rancho Maravillo, I think it is, where it's like a 1,000-acre ranch outside of Rio Grande City, which again is very far west, southwest, I guess, of Mission, Texas. And it was this ranch where he knew the owner, and, you know, there were places to run. And so I had gone out there with my friends and him years ago. And, you know, we went out there and we, you know, did our thing. And it's very beautiful. But it's also very easy to get lost out there. So, suffice it to say, I decided that I was going to run fewer miles than my friends that day and proceeded to get lost. And I kept running in circles around this one area and was not sure if I needed to cross into a cow pasture. And these cows were sort of looking at me, sort of alarmed and mad at me. And I'm like, listen, it's okay. I'm just a little lost. Don't get mad at me. But then I realized they weren't playing. And so I was like, okay, I'm getting out of here. And I just kept, and of course, there's no cell phone service out there. So, you know, I just kept thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna be stuck out here for the rest of my life. But of course, Coach being Coach, you know, he and the ranch owner, I heard this pickup truck coming behind me after, you know, about an hour or so being lost, and they were obviously searching for me, and they figured out where I was, and voila, there I was, and I was just insanely embarrassed, but, you know, what are you going to do? The other thing about Coach is, like, I've you know, hung out with him at the Snowdrop 55-hour race and relay. He has created teams out there. I was trying to get him to help me recruit some people for my team as well this year, the Flying Chonklas, because he's got a team called the Real Housewives of the Rio Grande Valley, I think it is. But anyway, and then Hundo and his wife, Babe, Kathy, are running the 100 miler out there this year. I am going in circles. But anyway, lots of history between us all. And nonetheless, this is a really cool behind the scenes chat about what goes on to put together, or not put together, but just, you know, the last several days before and during the Boston Marathon. Enjoy. I'm recording. Oh, yeah, I think. Whoa, am I recording? I don't know. Yes, I am. Okay. Well, hello. I am here with Coach Basilio Mendoza and Hundo Orlando Montalvo. And Babe Montalvo in the background there. Woohoo! Anyway, it took us about 45 minutes to get this.
Yeah, no kidding. It was like a collapse.
This is going to be so worth it, though, people. Anyway, yeah, so it's so good to see both of you in one place. It's like, oh. Anyway, so yeah, you guys, and I guess the reason I wanted to talk to you is that I've never really known about people who have gone up to the Boston Marathon to work behind the scenes. You know, so that's really why we are here today. And so I want to, Coach, first of all, give me some background about how you got involved with this and how you roped Orly into this.
Well, I, you know, as a coach, I've always, well, when I started coaching, I kind of did a lot of research, and I kind of wanted to, you know, I'm not into mediocrity. And so I kind of looked for one of the best coaches in the world, who happened to be Coach Joe Vigil. So I traveled a lot of places, a lot of clinics, and I started learning, and I started. So I kind of pushed myself on there, you know, on the stage. So with the Boston Marathon, I ran it, and I kind of like, I'm transitioning from, I guess, a runner
to a race director.
To a race director, you know. So I kind of like, I've done quite a lot of things. This is social media, you know. I got to do a lot of races, had a lot of really fast times, which is great. But now I think my focus has been, I really enjoy putting on a race, right? So I thought to myself, okay, so where I want to learn, and again, I didn't want to go I wanted to go to the best. And I felt that the Boston Marathon was the best. So I reached out to Andy Deschanes, who is the starter of the marathon for the past 25 years. I emailed him. He emailed me back, and he says, sure, come over and volunteer. So I volunteered.
How long ago was that? Just so I'm curious.
That was like, I think 2019,
Six,
maybe
5 years ago, 6 years
5 or 6
ago.
ago. Yeah, somewhere around there,
Yeah.
2019, somewhere around there. And I volunteered, and Andy was a very, very nice guy, very kind. He was kind of telling me, this is what we do, and he was showing me around, and I was learning a lot of things, a lot of barricades, a lot of stuff that I really can't go into too much detail because it's too much, right? So,
A
and
lot.
so the thing is, I learned a lot from just watching, right, and watching him kind of manage people. And so I started doing that, and then the second year I went back, I volunteered again. In the third year, the past 2 or 3 years, Andy's told me, "Well, why don't you go try and see the athletes' village?" So when I went over there, I was introduced to DEMSI. So DEMSI is stands for Dave McGilvery Sports Enterprises. So
Okay.
he is the race director, has been the race director for the longest time of the Boston Marathon. So his company manages the entire Boston Marathon. So I was like blessed by being with them. So when I went over there, it was all hands-on, like a lot of times we pay to go to clinics to learn. And I mean, you learn right off the bat. I mean, they put you to work quick. And it's and when once after that year, man, I came back home saying, "Holy cow, man, that was a lot of work. We had to lift a lot of barricades. But there's a lot of things you do. It's all hands-on, and you come back pretty much beat up, sore, and tired, with a wealth of knowledge, And so I'm trying to build my team, and that's why I wanted to. I've invited. One time I invited Ramiro Samarripa, he went with me. Then I invited also Julio, and now I invited Orlando. And I kind of wanted, and I think Orlando did a heck of a job up there. And we even got invited to go to a Patriots game, huh?
Yeah, we got invited to go watch Texans versus Patriots
In
in
Oh
New
my
England.
God,
Yeah,
that's amazing.
not necessarily all expenses paid, but pretty
Pretty
much.
much, yeah, pretty much. Andrew Grande is. He's the one that invited us. So the whole thing for me was a journey. It's been a journey. I want to be the best at race directing, at least locally. And I think that I'm on my way, but I know there's some things that I'm lacking. It's really not more of me, but other things that are not in my control right now, which will be in my control pretty soon, So I'm excited, and I'm excited that Orlando went up there, and I didn't really want to tell him too much because I was gonna scare him. So he went up there. He thought we were gonna go vacation. Holy cow! The first day, right off the bat, boo, rainy, 40 degrees, and he says he can't feel his
My
fingertips.
fingertips, they're gone. My fingerprints are hurting.
Come on, you've been through colder.
Yeah, it's no, it's the
Yeah.
hands-on work, the unbuttoning, buttoning, twisting, snapping, all that stuff,
Grabbing, pulling,
grabbing, pulling,
pulling down, pulling
trying to
up.
separate trash bins, which is another story we'll get into in a minute. And just the overall, like putting a lot of stress on your body to pry things and turn things and load up things. And man, my fingertips and my
Yeah.
fingerprints are sore.
So I'm just happy that he went because now he gets to. A lot of people, when I say I'm going to Boston, they think I'm going to go vacation. And now we got Orlando here that can
It's work.
vouch for it.
And
It's a lot of work.
there's a what I noticed there was kind of a duality in people in New England area. There's a kind of a gentleness about them, real nice people, but right under the surface of that, deep into the water, is this work ethic, work
Dude.
tone, work ethic. You're here to work. We're here to work. Like, we're not here to mess around. We're blue collar, hardworking people, and that's where we kind of joined in on that
Yeah.
process.
Yeah.
We would have lunch, and we're eating, and in South Texas we kind of take our time eating, right? So I would be like polishing off that 12 piece of pizza or whatever it was that we were eating at the time, and I noticed our Jake, one of our team leaders there, he'd start walking off, And I looked at the coach. Yeah. I looked at the coach. I'm like, that's like a clue. Like, we're going back to work. Like, let's go.
And how much time are we talking about?
20 minutes, maybe.
20, 30 minutes.
So, like, yeah, it's like grab
and
your
normally
pizza.
You would eat and how long?
Yeah, and talk and chit chat. No, it's like grab your whatever you're gonna eat, let's go. And without saying it, it's just the body language.
Body language, yeah. And all those guys are, I mean, man, talk about work. They work, they you know, it's one of those we love to work type of environments, and we're all working and everybody. So if you are a hard worker, you fit in. Regardless of what you look like, what your ethnicity is, what your gender is,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. If you hard, you work hard, you're gonna fit in. If you don't work hard, then you're not gonna fit in.
And the other thing was like you get done with a hard task and think, oh, okay, we're done, right? Like we're done. No, okay, now next, what we're gonna do is this. Yeah. Like so, it was like, finish one task, let's go to the next item on the checklist because, you know, you're talking about at the 5K, right? 10,000 runners.
Well, that's a Friday.
That's the Friday setup. Right? The Friday setup, we're setting up the 5K down in the Boston Commons area. And so we, you know, but then the marathon, you're talking about, you know, 30,000 runners. So you're prepping for basically moving like the city of Far into a small little town, right? Mm-hmm. So think of all the logistic background, trash barrels, trash bags, waters, Gatorades, barriers.
I was saying there's barricades.
The number of golf carts and gators that you need to move stuff around, pallet jacks, scissor lift jacks, all that stuff, and the amount of porta potties. You think you've seen a lot of porta potties? No, you've not seen this many.
Yeah, this is across.
We were counting. I think Athletes Village had 1,000 maybe porta potties there.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, how far are they spaced apart? I guess that's
right next to each other.
Next to each other.
But I mean, like mile-wise, though.
So Athletes Village is basically the football field track area of Hopkinton Middle School and High School, right, right behind there. And then they, all those athletes in that area get walked to the start line, which is about 0.8 mile away to the town center, right? Old-fashioned town has a town square, and that's where the start line is. So you're walking, little bit under a mile just to get to your start line.
Yeah.
Like you need that,
Yeah, you can start your watch already.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
And I think what got him, a little freaked out was the urinals. There was individual urinals.
He got like these little four. I call it like a fourplex.
Yeah.
Right, like at the corners is a little urinal for a guy to stand there and do his business, right? But they're not enclosed; it's open. So you got like
a locker room.
You got like eight of those in the middle of the football field there at Hopkinton Middle School, and then they just put like a little, you know, a kind of a barrier, fencing around it. But
yeah, that's it.
They have to. They're just so, you know, I don't know how to explain, you know, 30,000 runners in one area like that.
So I guess it's a little different from, say, Bandera, where there's like nine porta potties.
Talking about what, 8 or 10 porta potties, I think.
Yeah. So
okay, these are thousands.
So at each little area, you had like, and the line was how many? We counted them like 80 this way, and then like 100 and some this way.
Oh my!
And then all those, the guy porta, and then you had some more on the other side.
And that's only the start area. That's not including the course.
Yeah, right.
On the course at different towns, there's also multiple, like sets of 3 or 4 along the route.
Yeah.
So do they have the porta, I'm obsessed with the porta potties, but did they have porta potties at like every mile or how often did they?
Yeah, well, kind of like,
they're all spread out.
Just spread out.
Yeah. Okay. Like at every mile, at
every town that you get into, there's a few. Like they'll find an empty spot in between and they'll put 2 or 3.
Yeah, you can spot them. If you're running, you can spot them on the left side or right side because the whole street is full of runners. It's like a big old wall. They're just running down the street. It's crazy.
Yeah, the interesting part, or to me, coming back, we set up our stuff and we'll get to that in a second, but we're there at the 1 mile mark, more or less, right there in Hopkinton. And you know, the leads go by, there's only a few of those, so, you know, they're fast, and you see the speed, but when the first wave, right, of non-elite runners comes in, and it's a whole set of maybe 1,000, 2,000 people, they're wall-to-wall, side-to-side, and the whole thing, like, you couldn't spot somebody individually unless they were, like, tough. Right in front of you. It's yeah. just so many people. Yeah. And then you're feeling, like, this cool breeze, like,
nonstop.
What? It's because the runners are pushing air, Donna. There's so many runners that you're getting a little breeze from the runners walk That's running by.
Crazy.
It's crazy as many people as there are.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. And it's a thunderous. It's a little thunderous, you know, all the feet clapping the pavement as they're coming by. And it's just nonstop.
Well, I think going back to the first day, I want to go back to the first day. So the first yeah. day.
And how many days did you guys do this before we get to the first day?
Okay, so we're on the road. We're on the road 8,000 hours just to get there. That was my big word.
Wednesday.
I think it was 38 hours from Mission all the way to Marlboro,
Massachusetts.
And so we get there like Thursday around midnight.
Midnight.
And then so Friday morning, we're already downtown Boston in the Commons ground.
We're already working.
Raining. Cold wind, 40-mile-an-hour wind. Like the rain's coming in like this. And so we're working for the 5K, which is on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So we're setting up sign trusses and barriers, tables. What else did we do? We did a bunch of stuff that day.
So I think what got you a little bit and what, like, so I'm already used to that, I know if it's going to be super bad weather, we're still going to work. It doesn't matter. The weather is.
You just got to get done.
Yeah. So I remember my wife telling me, oh, Brianna can't go because it's cold and it's raining, right?
That's your daughter.
It's my daughter. And I'm thinking to myself, like, she's not ready then, you know, because we get there and there's like a couple of 7-year-old ladies.
Right? Yeah.
7-year-old ladies working, raining, and they're lifting barricades
and they're
coming up.
How heavy are those barricades? Because I know I keep hearing you talk about that.
There's hundreds of thousands of barricades, but they're maybe like, what, 10 pounds maybe?
More than that. They're like 30 pounds, I think, because they're about 10 feet long.
10 feet long.
Right? Wrought iron, so you got, and they're in a truck, so you got to like lift them out of the truck, and then you know, and then they interlock. So you got to place them down and interlock them.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, those.
So somewhere between 10 to 30 pounds.
Somewhere in there, I don't know. Yeah, it depends, right? If you don't lift at all, it might be like 40 pounds. So it's tough. You have to go.
They're heavy. I mean, they're heavy-ish. You can like. Yeah. You could do it, but it's just how many of them are you going to be lifting over time and over?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I'd want to do that, but yes.
And then, then you have all those tent and vendor areas within Commons that we're helping to set up little parts like trusses for signs and stuff like that. So we're setting all those up.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of teams. There's different teams, but Dempsey is the main team. They're the ones that call the shots, you know, and so it's. So whatever Dempsey says gets done. We have to do whatever they say. And then you see ladies and older ladies, they're all working. You know, there's nobody's making an excuse that the weather's ugly. Yeah. You just, like, you pretty much ignore it. All right?
Yeah, you're
ignoring all that.
Like I said about that underlying work ethic, right? That mm-hmm. it's just understood. Yeah. The weather's going to be bad or good, doesn't matter. We got to get XYZ done today. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And they don't talk about it. It's just in the body language. Yeah. We're working.
Yeah, there's a guy that I nicknamed Thor.
Kyle.
I nicknamed him Thor because I was grabbing one barricade and I was having a hard time putting it up. This guy was grabbing 3 or 4 and just, I'm like, okay. Because you have to grab it from the floor, lift it up and put it on a truck or get off the truck and put it down. That sounds easy until you have to lift it. And Thor was getting like 3 of them. Like, okay. Right? That was crazy.
Yeah, and how old is Thor, do you think?
He's about early 30s. Yeah, like 31, 32 maybe.
I think. Strong guy. Like, all those guys are strong. They're all strong, right? I mean, they're all, like, they've
done it so long that they...
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, to us South Texas boys, and the wind's cold, and, like, I had to wear... Coach already knew this. Do you wear vinyl gloves underneath your work gloves?
Yeah.
Because the work gloves are going to get soaked with water, and then your hands are going to be wet and cold, and then you're handling metal, you know, and bumping things and like, ah, you know?
Yeah. No, so, you have to have a Ziploc bag for your phone, or it's going to get super wet, drenched. So there's a lot of things that you learn while you're there that you don't really learn here, you know, like from.
Right.
So you look at the setups around here, and this, you know, now he gets to see what I see, right? Like, I get to see, like, okay, you know, like, you know, I just don't make no comment.
Yeah, your viewpoint.
Yeah, like what, like working in a Boston Marathon, and you know, everything that it takes to put it on, and then you see, you know, the different races around locally and, you know, around the region. And
well, they're not just to that scale. Yeah, I mean,
it's an understanding that there's teams within teams, right? Mm-hmm. And each one of those little sub teams has their job to do, and they better get it done. Like, mm-hmm. there's no making excuses why something didn't get done. It's just you do it, and okay, what's next? That's the attitude. Yeah. What's next? What's next? What's next? Okay, you got that. Okay, what's the next thing? Are we close to done yet? You know, where are we in our list of things to do? Okay, we're almost done. We're almost done. Okay, and there's always like after lunch, there's a little meeting. Okay, we're going to do XYZ now after lunch. And then after that's done, you get back together. And okay, what's next? Okay, we got to get this done. We got to take these waters over here. Here's the list. Here's where they go. Okay, let's go. And it's just a constant.
And it's very detailed.
Yeah.
It's very detailed, like detailed. There's not like, there's no gap, but there's no like, oh, I should have thought about that. It's already been thought about. It's extremely detailed. Everything is detailed. And that's why like that I've been learning from detail. And again, I understand the problem is there's some things that are not in my control yet, but once I have everything in control, it's on.
Yeah.
Locally.
It's like, you know, it's like writing a research paper. How deep does it need to be? Well, depending on what the needs are, it's got to be fairly deep. So think of Boston Marathon. I mean, that's got to be very critical that all these, the smallest little sub team has to do their thing correctly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the rest of it's just not going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of for me as a first timer, that was kind of the pressure I felt internally, like, don't mess it up. Like, you got, make sure you get this done right. And if you have questions,
that's pressure.
Like, you know, because I don't want to be the bad guy in the group.
So what was the thing that surprised you the most about this experience, especially you, Orly, because it was your first time?
I think really for the most part is, you know, from the outside, you see Boston Marathon as this prestigious marathon, super cool. But what you don't understand is the amount of the locals and the amount of people behind the scenes working their tails off to make sure that everything goes off without a hitch, right? Because like I said, there's this undertone of work ethic that you don't see from the outside, but once you're in there and you see it, you know that, oh, okay, this thing is big. This is a big time thing, and everybody takes a lot of pride in their hard work. And it was really cool to be a part of that experience.
How would you compare that to what you've experienced in the Valley? And again, this isn't meant to, you know, knock the Valley and its work ethic or whatever, but I'm sure.
Well, every race director in the Valley is really good. I think every race that I've been a part of, you know, is very well executed, you know, to the nth degree. It's just that something like Boston is so huge that it's levels deeper, right? Or, you know, like
hard to compare.
If you do a like say a local 5K, well, how many porta potties do they need? 3, 4, five if the race director can afford it, right? Well, over there you're talking about thousands and thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do they get them all in there? Like on the back of somebody's truck? No, all those things have to be moved with huge vehicles that can handle trailer loads. Trailers that are just designed for porta potties, right? Trash bins, trash cans. How many trash cans do you need at the local 5K?
Oh, there was a
five or six, 10 if you're lucky. And over here, we're talking about hundreds of trash barrels, stacks and stacks and stacks that we had to go and, you know, on a map. Okay, these six go here, these six go here, these 10 go over here, these five go over here.
The 6 foot tables go here, but the 8 foot tables go here.
And you're picking them up and moving them. And they're not the little plastic Lifetime tables. These are like wooden tables with metal rims, so they're heavier.
Real heavy.
And we had to, we got to move quite a few of those.
Yeah, quite a few, I like that.
Coach, I can't, my arms are cramping. Put it down, let me rest. Okay, let's get it, let's go. And it's raining on you and everything's all wet.
Yeah.
So, and coach, for you, you've done this, what, like about four times, five times?
Five or six times. Somewhere.
Yeah, 5 or 6 times. So what is it about this that you've learned from that helps you become a better race director now? Because I know you're still kind of a, I don't want to say novice, but you're still kind of, you know, in the early stages.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference is for me is, it's like when I became a cross country coach, I just needed to learn the hardest part to train somebody. One of them is make sure that they, that you give them the plan and understand that it's going to take, it's a process, right? Slowly. And for me, honestly, it's like, we just had a, I just managed an event in Alton and it went great.
Yeah.
Now, why, what's the difference there? The difference was that, okay, here's the difference, that I had all the things I needed, barriers, barricades. So I had everything I needed for the race to succeed, you know, and so that's the only thing I'm missing, right? And then, so now that's why Orly, I want him on my team, because the other thing I'm missing here, or was missing, was a time, somebody to that understands, or that's tech savvy, you know, so we can time the events better. And yeah, so that's the other one. And then, but so I'm learning, and I see, like, when I go to local events, which I don't go to very many lately, but what I see is, I mean, I see a lot of their, a lot of the things they're doing okay, a lot of things are doing good, and a lot of, and then a lot of things they need to work on, you know, and I see it, but I really can't explain it, because you have to be part, being part of DEMSI is a big, huge honor for me, you know, because as a matter of fact, they told me that if you want, we can volunteer, right? They said they would like to volunteer. You're talking about the greatest management event team in the world wants to come to Little South Texas and help out in my, and help out in my, in my event, and you're, and I'm like, wow. And to me, it's an honor to be part of their crew, and then it's even a bigger honor if they're to actually come down and help out. So they, that might happen.
And it was, you know, like I said, the pressure I felt in training was because, I don't know, not many people know that, you know, tens of thousands of people volunteer to work the Boston Marathon, and they're turned away. They're turned away in the thousands.
10,000 were turned away this year.
So for a little old me from South Texas, and so that meant that, you know, coaches has high favor with them, and then to bring me along and say, trust that I'm going to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my responsibility was to coach, to make, not make him look bad, right? Obviously, I need to do very well. So they will trust that whoever coach brings, they're going to work.
And it was, and it, one of the nice compliments was everything was smooth. Like, you guys just jumped right in and everything went great.
Well, you guys have a lot of experience too. So, I mean, you know, I think that that helps a lot, you know, I mean, compared to like an average person, I'm imagining, I mean, I don't know who these other people are.
Yeah. I mean, and like Coach said, it's just that we have that willingness, right, to step in and do whatever they ask. We're going to do it, you know, and, and we have, they trust us, like, okay, go get a card and go do it. Go do your thing. And we're going to come, and they're doing their thing, right? So they're trusting that you're handling your business.
So I think my first, I think you asked the question, and the novice, I don't really see myself as a novice. And the
No,
the only reason I say that is because I coach for, well, I taught for 32 years, and I coached, I think, for 23 of the 32, maybe 25, I forgot. But within the coaching, I had to put on a lot of cross-country meets, you know, so it was the same thing, basically. where I had access to a lot of things. And so by me going to Dempsey, okay, it was, so I was used to the work. The only thing was, man, the intensity was higher, you know, the intensity was like freaking high. And it was tough. Yeah. And next the expectations level. Higher, yeah, next level. So by hosting championships in my school, by going to championship, like for example, going to the state meet and seeing like, you know what, this could be better. But then again, I'm not in the UIO
committee,
but if I was, I would have done a lot of things different. Not only from the standpoint of logistics, but like awards, the award ceremonies that they do, it's not very good. I mean, they give out little bitty medals after a long, long season. You know, it should be a lot nicer. Yeah. So the only difference with me is that I don't have barricades. I don't have cones. I don't have the banners. But that's really the big,
it's almost like window dressing, I guess.
Well, no, but it's also safety. It's huge safety, yeah. Factors, yeah, right? True. Specific cones are used for the street, right? Government, yeah, regulated cones, yeah, that are a specific size, specific six. Number of reflection tape on it and stuff.
Yeah.
So you want, you know, like Coach has South Texas International Marathon. So Coach is really priming his team to get big races. And by working with Dempsey, now you have that big race
mentality
and understanding of what it takes to run a huge multi-city point-to-point race.
Yeah.
So South Texas International Marathon is like point-to-point going through multiple towns, right?
And I think it went out pretty good.
Tell me when that is again.
December 8th.
December 8th. Okay, good. And so, that could be like a single or a relay, et cetera. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Correct. Both. Yeah, single both. Marathoners and relay teams.
Right? Two-person and five-person relay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think our marathon went pretty well, considering we had a very small committee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went really well. We had a couple of issues that, again, you know, when you get the volunteers and they don't understand or they don't see something from the runner's point of view, that's when you get some problems.
Yeah, so obviously working with Dempsey, you know, we started seeing all those little areas that we need to sharpen up, yeah, right? We're doing these things correct, but these four or five, yeah, things, watching how Dempsey attacks those things, we can use that same process that they follow, that they use, right? Yeah. So it's learning how to be better, learning how to get things more efficient. Because basically, like what I tell Coach all the time is, I need you to be out there shaking hands, smiling, kissing babies, that kind of thing, and not on the course working. I need him out there meeting people, greeting people, and let us, you know, run the behind the scenes. And, you know, it's Coach developing that team where he can trust it.
So this is, I don't know if you can see that.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, so that is the staff manual. So this is like,
how many pages?
It's a lot.
It's quite a bit. Pages. Yeah, it's quite a bit. I don't think they have the numbers. Yeah, but this is a 128th Boston Marathon course staff information.
Wow.
So we have, you know, so we go there and we learn. And this is what I really work for, so I can learn. And they trust us enough to, and they want us to know what's going on. So we have all the details. Everything is in here.
And like, if you're putting down, like, for example, there in Boston, each town that you run through on the course, we have to put up these big banners that have the town names on there. Well, on the documentation, it gives you basically a GPS where to put them.
Yeah.
And with a picture on a map, this is where these flags go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're guessing, right? Like, where do they want them? Oh, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that saves a lot of time on the road. Yeah.
With tables, water, porta potties. Everything's very
mapped and marked.
Specific.
Yeah.
Everything is, there's no guess. That's right here, you know.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing this a long time, so I guess that makes sense.
128 years.
Yeah.
that's so cool.
I think Dempsey has been in charge for 30 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So So are you guys going to go back next year?
So that's the plan. The plan is to return and every year they've given me they've trusted me enough to do something a little bit more, you know, something a little bit more
important.
More important.
List of things to do, yeah.
Yeah. So this past year we did last year was my first year. Some guy did not show up because his job was to put up flags at the entrance of every town. And the guy last second bailed out. He couldn't. He said, so they were like, what? So they called me up and they said, Coach,
can you do this?
And I'm like, I'm game. Let's go. So now they, you know, without asking, they put me on there. And so I'm hoping that maybe later that so there's four trucks that go along the course. Those four trucks, they're highly reliable people, you know, and so we're one of the trucks that's on there. So we are going through the whole course.
Just so like you have one, like you okay. have, yeah, like you have one truck, and we're talking about moving vans, right? Big trucks,
huge,
30 Penske's. Footers, Penske's. So one truck is, for example, mile markers.
Pick up the mile markers.
Set them down, pick them up fast. Another yeah. one is us, which is the flags that you go through every time, but they're 18 feet tall, so they take up a lot of room inside the truck. The other one is trash. They have a trash garbage truck out there. And so think of 30,000 people grabbing cups, drinking, and throwing them on the road. All those cups go in trash bags, and those got to be picked up at the end as well. So, we're cleaning up the course at the end as we go. So that by the time we're through the course, it like it never happened.
Yeah.
There's only a few little areas within towns where people like littered, like they were out there on the, you know, hanging out and stuff. Yeah. But the city crews are right there with us, cleaning up. Barriers are being loaded back on trucks, like all this as we go through.
Yeah. So at 4 a.m., we set up all those four trucks. Setting up everything along the
4 a.m. of marathon morning, Monday morning.
Yeah.
And then, so you did both the 5K and the marathon. I just want to make
right. sure. Okay. Yeah, with that.
How many hours does it take for the marathon day, like from beginning to end for you?
So we start at 4 and we ended 7?
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Okay. Okay, that's amazing. And what is it for the runners?
About the same, like six they have a 6 hour
cut off
yeah so it just depends because they have different waves on your wave, you know, and if so the longer you wait the worse it is for you, I think, in my
opinion. Because it's warmer, the day's warmer, right? So you don't get those cool temps in the morning.
Not only that, you wake up at 4 to be there by 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever. You know, run to 11. That's a long way.
Because remember, you're not parking there at the start area. Yeah. You're parking in Boston, way out there, and you're bused back up towards the Hopkinton area, which is, you know, a marathon distance away. Yeah. So, you know, you show up over there to park, ride the bus, whichever bus you get on, you get to Athletes Village, let's say 5:15, 5:30, and then your particular wave might not start till 11.
Good.
Yeah, for a while.
So you're there hanging out, and that's why you need all this structure underneath, because you can't just have runners standing out there in the sun, right? Just like wandering around.
Yeah, we have huge tents out there, like huge 200-foot tents. They're like, they cover half of the football field, and they're out there so all the runners can be underneath and drinking water. And
doing what they need to do. And then you have an information tent, you have a medical tent, nursing moms have a lactation tent also for them.
You have
handicap accessible porta potties, because we do have handicap folks running as well. You got your wheelchair runners, right? They're out there.
Blind.
The blind are out there running. It's amazing.
But I think that we're the one that nobody ever sees or hears about is that lactation tent.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You have a lot of, you know, in 30,000 runs, you're going to have quite a few moms, right, that need to handle what they need to do for their children. So it's important to have that in place.
Yeah. So
now, is that just one place, or do they have those along the
two
way?
Tents? No, just one place. That's okay. At the start.
At Athletes Village, they have a tent. I don't know what it was, 30 by 30 tent. Yeah, 30 by 30 tent just for them.
That's amazing, though. That's So awesome that they do that.
So, I mean, think about the level of detail they have to have it in their plans for all these different folks that need things before they even get on the course to run.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I think that's incredible. Oh, shoot. I had a really good question and it, you know, went out of my mind. What was there anything negative that you experienced about this volunteer?
Yeah, those darn trash cans.
Well, actually, we didn't volunteer. It's a pain.
Those darn brute, big trash, plastic trash cans, right? They're like, when you get to the area, right, everything has been dumped off of a truck, right? So first of all, you're loading in all this stuff in that area so that we can unload it and set it out. So all these trash cans are like, I don't know, 50, Orlando, stacks of 50, I don't know.
Orlando had a hard
stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of them, right? But what you don't, like, if you try and take three apart, it's pretty simple, right? But think of the gravity and squeezing all these bins together, right? So they're like vacuum sealed, stuck together.
And he had a meltdown.
And you don't know what you're doing. And I guess, I'm like, what is he trying? I can't even, I'm trying to pull them apart. I can't pull them apart. And my elbows are sore. And coach is laughing at me.
Oh, like, my arms.
My arms. Can't put my arms down.
Kind of showed him, like, okay.
And then so we started kind of figuring out what way to do it. And it only worked like, and then we go back to the office right there. And then Joe, one of our leaders there, you just throw them on the ground. Poof, and then they'll start, okay.
Yeah, just wiggle them out. It's
a little tip that might have helped.
I don't know how to do a task, but again, the numbers, right? The sheer volume of this stuff. And then, okay, trash. Think about trash bags for those things, right? Right? You have to have pallets full of rolls of trash bags.
Yeah.
And then you got to set them up. You got to put them in trash bins.
They're huge.
So we're, and the trash bags are like, coach says
the body bag.
Body bag length, right? Like you could literally put me in one. We should have put me in one.
Yeah.
And then so you got to put like two and then one on top of that. So you're literally in charge of making sure that, and they're called waste stations, and then they have a flag, waste station. So the runners that are eating bananas and stuff and chips, they have a place to throw all that away.
Yeah.
Did they always do that though?
And you have those stations everywhere in Athletes Village.
All over the place. Yeah, so we put two trash bags, two or three on the
inside,
and then we put the one. So that one gets full, take it out, and just grab the other one, and get it ready for the next trash.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, so we did that day one, right?
Yeah.
Saturday. We did that Saturday. And then we started seeing them unloading all these wooden tables that we helped them take off the truck. And I already knew. I said, Coach, you see all these stacks of tables? I bet you on Sunday, we're setting those tables up all over the place. And sure enough, that's what we did.
I didn't want to tell him.
He didn't have to tell me. I could read between the lines.
He'd be like on a plane.
Like, oh, man, I don't know.
Yes. I'm like, Coach, man, we're going to work, man.
We worked.
We did.
Hey, and then I wanted to go back to, I think I saw in your post, somebody wrote that, because you tagged me, right? So somebody wrote on there that it was they put on their volunteer, but we're not volunteer. Mm-mm. We're paid, and there's a
That's
difference.
That's what I wanted to ask you about was what do you get in return for doing this? Yes.
So that's a paid, that was a paid position. And the volunteers kind of like really don't get dirty, or they don't have to do a whole lot.
So, for example, if you want to volunteer on the course, like at a water station, mm-hmm. So you just show up there at that station when they give you your assigned time, and then you're, filling cups with water, things like that.
Gear jacket.
But you didn't have to go out there and drop off the tables, drop off blah, 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 chairs and all that
heavy
stuff.
Heavy lifting, basically.
Yeah, you didn't do any of that. You didn't do any of that setup.
So that was operations. That's very different from volunteering. So volunteering.
What do you guys make for that?
I think it's like $350 a day, somewhere under $250 a day.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we
probably not enough though.
Oh man, Let me bring that. Should I bring the credentials so you can see?
Yeah, you got it with you.
Yeah, let me bring the credentials real quick.
All right, do
so,
it.
When you're on the course with a truck or anything that's related to operations, because there's so many state police that police, you know, obviously with the bombing that happened, right? There's the security is way up high and everybody's on edge. So every vehicle has to have a sign in there that says, you know, course operations. That way, when your truck comes in, they know you're part of what's going on, part of DMZ. And then they're going to ask you for your credentials as well. So they'll stop you. Hey, what are you guys doing? Okay, let me see your credentials. So you have two badges. We had two badges that we wore. One was course and one was operations. So I think Coach is going to go bring them. Okay. And then on those, you have those hanging on you. And then, of course, you have your jacket that they provide.
Yeah, and they give you the jacket. Yeah.
So everybody has the jacket. And everybody has these two that Coach is about to show you right here.
And if you don't have these,
You're toast.
Yeah, you will get either arrested or kicked out. Yeah, you get arrested. They don't mess around. Like those state troopers, that's one thing that nobody understands. Hundreds upon hundreds of state troopers, police officers. You got snipers. You got helicopters.
FBI,
CIA. Everybody's there.
Dogs, you know.
Sniffer dogs.
Canine officers, I should say.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything is scrutinized down to the manholes covers. Those are checked, scrutinized by all the way through the course to Athletes Village. And then they're marked that saying that, hey, well, we checked this already.
And they spray it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Spray across. And if it's moved, if it's
not lined up, they know they got to recheck it.
Yeah. So this is the operations.
Okay. Bring it toward the camera, please. Thank you. Woo. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's the instructions that you got, like your clearance. You check it when you go on, you log on. It says, you understand what you got to do? Yes. Okay.
So then this is the course. This one, both of them, you need to be wearing them at all times.
Okay. They don't mess around. Yeah.
No.
Nice.
Then the rules and regulations of wearing this badge, the responsibilities, you have to sign that when you click on that.
Yeah. So you need to wear these two in a jacket.
Okay.
And if you're not wearing these two, then you, they stop you.
They're going to stop you. They're going to hold you and check.
Even though we had them, they still ask us questions.
So you were getting the jacket that the same runners get at the end, or no?
Yeah. No, not the runner jacket.
I know nothing.
It's a different jacket. It's a different jacket. And then also the medical tent professionals and volunteers, they also get a jacket, but it's a different color.
Okay.
So that you'll know, hey, those are medical staff.
Right. And do you guys get meals and lodging paid for, or did you have to do that yourselves?
So the meals that they provide is lunch the days that we were working. But I think, I'm not too sure Coach can answer that question, but I think we can submit our receipts for breakfast and dinner, and they do some kind of reimbursement on that.
Okay. And then lodging is on your own then?
Yeah, we're on our own for lodging.
Okay, that makes sense. So just trying to help people understand, you know, what this consists of.
And so basically you're not going to be able to participate in operations unless you, like in the case Coach knew the DMZ folks and they bring you on. So
right.
I'm not
somebody.
Like I showed up first day and it's like,
who are you?
Oh, yeah, are we gonna let him work or not? Big kind of thing, right?
You're like, I'm Hundo. So,
yeah, hey, I'm here with Coach. I'm here to work, guys.
Ooh, there he is. He's got the jacket.
There's a jacket.
This is what basically you have to be looking like on race day.
That is so nice.
Or else they kick you out.
Wow.
So this is what we're. So if you see some pictures of anybody do it with these, they're not volunteers. So these are.
Those are the.
This is the big.
Yeah. Deal. So the people working water stations don't have those.
You're in operations. Badges. Yeah. You're.
And then the operations, but on race day, it's the course.
Got it.
And then on the vehicle, we have two signs. Mm-hmm. One says operations, and the other one says on course. So that way they don't stop them. On the dashboard, yeah. So that's one reason I think that our marathon was a little better than, well, better than what normal marathons are, is because of all this experience I'm getting. So hopefully soon enough, we're gonna pretty much have it like, you know, almost perfect, you know? And so, even though it's never, nothing's ever perfect, but so soon enough, we'll have this coming year, we're gonna have a lot of these because we did have some issues this past year.
That's
so
cool.
we're gonna have all of these jackets, the whole thing. We're gonna try to mimic Denzi all the way through, and if they come and help us out, man,
even better, because they know the process.
So
they,
then they I don't have to worry. They're gonna ask me, what do you want to do best? Now I'm the one in charge, but of course I don't have to babysit them.
They're the mentor. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to say, okay, what do you guys think? And they're just going to, hey, what do we do this? What do we do that? Yeah. We'll plan quick, you know, and
you know, to repeat, just for me, it's going back to having coach being the spokesperson, shaking hands, all that. And then we're taking care of business. So he doesn't have to worry about that.
Right. Yeah. Awesome.
That's my goal.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. So Coach and Orly, I want you guys to give me just a you know, 30-second, 1 minute, whatever it takes. What do you call it? Like a compression of your background in terms of like professionally what you guys do and whatnot, just so I can describe you. I mean, I know Orly is retired teaching, but sort of retired, but
sort of.
So I'm kind of not really there.
Yeah. So Coach, tell me about what you do. Are you still
No, I retired. I retired 2.5 years ago.
Oh.
So I retired 2.5 years ago. And so I do.
From where?
Donna ISD was my last assignment.
Which,
I was there 10
which
years.
Donna? So.
Donna ISD. Well, because it was Donna High 2 years, and then I went to Donna North 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I retired from there. I'm going to say it. I know I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. 10 years there, I got 9 state medals as a coach. So 9 out of 10 is pretty good, I think. You know,
that's amazing. Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, it's hard to get a single person to win a state title or even place 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it's tough.
So it's hard work.
Yeah. I try to put on small events. I don't want to put on big events yet because I don't think we're ready for that. Like I know Orlando and I had the conversation, once I feel I have everything in place, it will be announced. Now, for the marathon, so I'm doing all this for the marathon. The marathon went very, very, very well. Everything went really smooth with the exception of a couple of things, and we're gonna fix them this coming year. We had the award presentation was a little long, but it was good. The medal was great. The shirt was great. The route was great. The water stations were a little different from normally in marathons, they put them at every 5K. But since humidity level is really high here, I wanted to put them every 2 miles.
Mm.
And you know, so everything I'm doing in Boston, I'm going to try to mimic here, right? So I want to become a race director. So that's what I want to do, and you know, manage an event manager.
Great. Awesome. And then Orly, you retired like
so
what?
I retired last May, so it'll be almost 1 year that I retired. 29 years in education, 18 of junior high, 7th and 8th grade, and 11 years of high school, 9th through 12, science and engineering, robotics. I coached robotics.
Mm-hmm.
In the 8 years that we did robotics, our teams qualified 4 times for world championships.
Wow.
So that's pretty.
Yeah.
The kids are, you know, you set a standard, like coach sets a standard.
Yeah.
And the kids, you know, they rise to the level, you know, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
So now I'm just here. You know, coach has a need. He needs people that are willing to work.
Well, the whole thing is,
and I'm here to help him get his dreams and his goals accomplished as much as I can.
So great. The core values have to be the same, right?
Yeah.
Values, all those have to be the same. Like I have to have people that are not going to lie. They're not going to steal. They're not going to cheat. Their work ethic is good. So that's, I've been combing the area around with different people. And I think Orlando and Jaime fit those criteria. And now we're going to move on to, like
so it's setting up those teams, right? Those operational subgroups that I need to help coach get those people in place so that he doesn't have to worry about all that stuff. So
right,
you know, we're working on setting that. And then of course, you know, coach mentioned small events. Of course, he has a lot of ideas about running in places that people don't normally run, and there's no like Wi-Fi signal out there. So we're trying to chase that dream and be able to manage it, run it, time it in those areas that are not very user-friendly in terms of setting all that technology up and stuff. So once we have that main team set, we can start pursuing those, that vision that coach has for unique races, unique places, distances.
So I did, or like I haven't told you, I did get, I guess people are watching, you know, like people are watching all the time. They're always watching what we do, and they normally don't tell you anything. But yesterday, last night, I had I was invited to a group, a very, very extremely prestigious group of trail running. And so this prestigious group is, look at what they're saying there, Rolando.
Holy moly.
It's French.
Oh, I know where this is.
Mm-hmm.
I know where this is.
Look, Sierra Sinal. So that is the World Championships. That's the Golden World Championships Trail Series. That's where it ends, in Switzerland. So all the big dogs,
Kilian Jornet, those type guys, guys that run these.
All the people that win those Golden Series, they go there and go head to head. So I was actually invited to this group. So like, whoa, wait a second. So I'm like, whoa. So I had already been invited to go to Switzerland by another friend of mine, but I didn't think anybody knew who I was. So to be invited here, it's like super crazy prestigious.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this, if you ever look,
Sierra Sinal.
Sinal, if you look at it on YouTube, Sierra Sinal, oh my God. It is the most amazing
mountain race,
the world championships in Switzerland. And that's the pinnacle. That's it. There's no more. That's the best.
That's amazing. Wow.
So I was about. So I'm really.
That invite.
But again, it's, you know, it's how do we scale all that down to the races that we're trying to get done? And obviously to, you know, you run a student magazine, you know, year to year to year, you have to touch it up a little bit every year. You got to pick up that notch of excellence every year to get to where you want to get to. And that's the goal with BMR is, can we take all that model of excellence and bring it here to Deep South Texas?
Yeah.
Tell me about what BMR stands for.
BMR is that's a little scary. Basilio Mendoza Running.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the reason I put that on there is because a lot of people know me, so it's like BMR Basilio. Oh, okay. So I'm hoping that like Dave McGilvery is Dave McGilvery Sports Enterprises, mm-hmm. Dempsey. So hopefully BMR will grow and grow, and it's kind of easy to remember BMR. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Pretty easy. Yeah, and so hopefully, that's Basilio. Yeah, okay, cool. So reach out to me, and then hopefully, I know Alton had a very successful event. So they already told me next year we're on, and so we're going to start getting some of those events, more and more events.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny because when I moved to the Valley, 20 years ago, there was barely a 5K.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Happening, you know, once a month or whatever. And, you know, it's really exciting for me as somebody, you know, and again, a huge part of my heart still belongs to the Valley. And I still identify with that as part of a place where I came of age or something. And it's really exciting when I hear about stuff like this, because, you know, I know how difficult it is because the culture is such that, you know, you're dealing with a lot of people who have health problems, and, you know, and it's a culture, you know, but again, I realize it's evolving, you know.
Again, you know, McAllen, Texas, number one in the world again for worst health. something
obesity,
to that effect,
diabetes,
right? Like the worst city in the States or something. But yeah, we, you know, and the good news is we have a lot of 5Ks.
Yeah.
Like every, you know, you
it's
have
great.
A few companies like, you know, Soul Racing's huge. They have, you know, one or two every month. So
it's doable.
They're doing their part in the community to get people going, get people out there,
start
a 5K, walk a 5K, get moving.
Just move.
And so we need those 5Ks. We need those 10Ks. We don't have enough half marathons. We don't have enough marathons down here. So we don't have to travel, you know, to San Antonio and farther away to run these marathons. I think that's where Coach comes into play, BMR, is trying to get those unique challenges for those that are kind of starting to advance into their distances and so forth. So I think that's where Coach is going to be able to do very well.
Give him that challenge.
Yeah. And I feel really excited to tell that story, you know, because again, I think sometimes people write off the Valley, but it's like, you know, again, as somebody who lived there for 13 years and still feels, you know, a very strong connection, I feel like, yeah, what you are doing is amazing. And I will, you know, and I think this area will be on the map before long, you know, in terms of a place to
that's
a destination.
Gonna
our, yeah, and,
that's gonna be one of
you
our
know,
goals.
Like as we travel, seemed like half the country.
It was half the country.
we went through all half the states, right? And the thing about the Valley, the price of everything is lower here. So
way lower.
You know, we're gassing up for $3.85, $3.80 up in the Eastern Coast area, you know, $3.75. It's like, holy moly.
And I can understand what some of those people that are very upset, pissed off, because they're buying it. I think we bought somebody bought a beer that was a 30 ounce, whatever it was.
You know, like a tall boy was like
$11, $12.
$12 at the convenience, like what?
$12. Like,
it's not, we're not at an MLB game where we're, you know, paying
premium.
Well,
What would that cost in the Valley?
I think like $5, maybe
$3.50.
Tacos like, made at gas stations.
Oh yeah, tacos. Yeah, and they're great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like that was like one of the weirdest things for me when I first moved there, because I was dating a guy that was from Mexico City, but he lived in the Valley, and he's like, "Can you go pick me up some potato and egg tacos?" And I was just like, "Okay,
where?"
He's like, can you get them at the gas station? And I'm like, I can't go to the gas station and pick up tacos for you. So I ended up going to, you know, one of those, you know, restaurants or whatever, you know. And it's like, and he was just like, you could have gone to a gas station, but I didn't understand that. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so there's no Stripes up there in the Northeast Coast, unfortunately.
No.
But there are like Dunkin' Donuts everywhere.
Oh, Dunkin' Coffee.
Everywhere. And so, you know, the Ben Affleck commercial with J-Lo and so, Kings, you know, King. Touchdown Tom Young Keys, right? So I'm just like, every time, the Dunk Kings.
You know, every other block.
Every other block, or sometimes twice in a block, there's a Dunkin' Donuts.
That's
crazy,
awesome.
Man. A lot of Dunkin' Donuts.
Hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, they do have good coffee, though. Yeah.
They do.
Tell them about the Italian food we ate at North End. If you've never been to Massachusetts or to
Boston, North End.
North End. You got to go to North End. Yeah, the Italian is really
he's
Italian.
Never,
really
he's
tough.
Seldom met a meal he's never liked, except for Rocky Raccoon the first
time. Yeah, I don't do well with burnt bacon, but I'll tell you what.
American cheese.
One of our lead workers told us basically, when you get to North End, close your eyes and point. That's a good restaurant. Basically.
Awesome.
Italian. North End.
So, and then I'm online checking for restaurants, like which one should, and then like all of them, like get reservations now. Like what? And there's only these spots left. What? So I'm like, pick one. So I found one, Ricardo's, and we got a 4:15. Boom. And so we're out there and we're eating. Oh my God.
Outside of Paul Revere's house.
Right across the street from Paul Revere's home.
Yeah. So if you're going to go to Boston, you want Italian food, go to North End.
Okay.
And you got to go get your pastries at Modern's.
Okay. So, you know, in Philly, you have the great debate of who has the better Philly cheesesteak, right? Geno's
right.
Or Pat's. You have that little rivalry. So in Boston, in North End, you have the same thing with cannolis and pastries. You have Mike's.
Okay.
And you have moderns.
Oh man, big
rivalry, oh, right? No. Or big rivalry. Seemed like that way to us anyway. Yeah. Maybe not so much to them, but to us it was. And so we're at Ricardo's, and I'm asking our waiter Tommy, right? What's his
Tom,
name?
Yeah.
Hey Tommy, you live here. Which one
you're
do we go?
You're wicked smart. Tell us.
Which one are we supposed to go to, Mike's or Mars? And it's, maybe I shouldn't have called him out like that. But anyway, the suggestion was made to go to Moderns.
Yeah, he's like, what? Go to Moderns? What are you talking about? Be smart.
Yeah. So we went to Moderns, and I'm going to put that video on Facebook here soon that I recorded of heavenly deliciousness.
Yeah.
There at
cannolis.
At Moderns. And then I had my first cannoli ever. I never had a cannoli before. And
it was good.
I was in another world as one of the local patrons saw me. He's like, you weren't even here, man. You were somewhere else. I'm like, yeah, this thing is delicious beyond delicious.
He kept on eating one of this.
I was like,
at the restaurant, he's like, oh my God.
So
oh my
good.
God. And then we went.
I almost cried. I think
it's some good. Yeah. I didn't even cry when he was eating that. What'd you get?
The cannoli.
Oh no, but you got the lasagna too.
The lasagna.
We got I got the lasagna too. Like,
how many pounds did you gain?
None.
Yeah. Proud of you.
We're working
so hard. How can I gain weight?
I'm kidding.
I was getting back to the hotel like my fingertips, my thumbs, my hands.
You get there, take a shower, and knock out.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, because we worked Friday morning. Well, Friday all day, Sunday all day, and then wake up at like 2 a.m. to go get to Hopkinton to get in the truck at 4 to start working again.
Ugh.
So it was like not much sleeping going on.
Not a vacation.
No. Only that one day, Tuesday, that we got to kind of we went to Harvard and we went downtown and went to the bookstore and hung out there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, drove around the area. And everybody was outside because it was like I think the first sunny day of many weeks of nasty weather.
And you're like, it's cold.
And the wind was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
But it was great, and you know we did get to go to North End.
Yeah, North End was awesome.
And so, the Bruins were playing that same night. That was their last regular season game, and so everybody was in Bruins.
Oh man,
that's the ice hockey team, by the way. The jerseys, the Boston Bruins. And so we got to go right to the garden. We walked right up to it, right there, downtown Boston. It was great. The people are great. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous people in Boston area.
The garden.
Man, it was cool.
It was really cool. We got to see the garden, right?
Yeah, we're right there.
We ran into a couple of guys, into Matt.
Yeah, one of your friends.
One of my friends from another...
Dempsey
guy, we run into him, and I was like, hey, man.
Yeah, he and his daughter were heading that way. Yeah.
So we walked him. So he's like, now I know you got good taste.
Yeah, because we were at Moderns. He saw us at Moderns. Now I know you got good taste, coach. Oh, by the way, like, everybody's walking up there. They walk everywhere.
Everyone.
You hardly see cars
going
anywhere. You don't
have to worry about getting run over.
Yeah, no, everybody's walking everywhere.
Yeah, everybody's walking, yes.
A lot of walking.
That's nice.
Cool, right? Yeah.
So, well, gentlemen, thank you so very much. This is so lovely. And it's so good to see you again, coach, because I haven't seen you in a while. And really, it's been 2 weeks. So anyway, stand by for one quick second. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with me, Hundo, and Coach. It was sort of funny because we spent about 30 minutes before the scheduled interview time, or actually during the scheduled interview time, trying to get Coach signed into Zoom where we could see him. We could hear him, but we couldn't see him. And those of you who are aware, we do have I have a YouTube channel for the Stubborn Tortoise, and like to post those interviews online just in case anyone cares. But it was sort of comical because all three of us are educators, and you know through the pandemic and whatnot, and thank God Orly, who is driving back, Hundo was driving back with his wife to Mission, Texas, where he lives after visiting his daughter Zara up in they actually brought her home from Mission to Kingsville because she's attending school up at A&M Kingsville, not you, dum-dum, or A&M University Kingsville. Yeah, there we go. But anyway, it was sort of this comedy of errors. And finally, I was just like, okay. And Orly was like, okay, I'm about 5 minutes from his house, so let's just pick this up. And I'm like, cool, text me when you get this, you know, when you guys get it all together. And that's how that came about. Yeah, for me, not a whole lot of running. I know this seems like a continuing pattern. I am active. It's not like I'm sitting on my butt all day eating bonbons or anything like that. But it's just been a little bit, my hip has been bothering me a little bit, and I'm trying to still work through some of that. And I don't really have any races immediately coming up, but hopefully that will change soon. So I'll keep you posted. But I still enjoy running and all that. I just have to kind of be careful with my hip and my brain. Hey. And I think that's all I've got for now. I'll see you next time.